As they were listening, they found it too much. Who can stand this? Who can accept it? And they were leaving. They were leaving to the point when Jesus would ask the apostles even, "What about you? Do you want to leave as well? As for me and my household, I will serve the Lord." We read in a gospel today, in a first reading. Second reading speaks of trust between us and God, between the church and Christ. I remembered when I got my driver's license, one of my first trips on my own. I got to this little car the size of a Geo Metro, and I went and I was turning left, waiting for the traffic to pass. And then suddenly I'm waking up and a few moments later, thinking, what happened? Where am I? And as I was coming back to my senses, I realized I'm on the street I was turning to, but I don't remember turning itself. And as the moments went by, I stepped out of the car and realized I've been rear-ended, the car is totaled, the car is no more. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to drive anymore. This is too dangerous. More than that, how am I going to go home and tell the parents that their only family car is no more? What would happen? Everything went good. But what has happened is the idea of me driving was not appealing anymore. I'll be frightened by it for many years to come. Thinking of the irresponsibility of the people, thinking about sometimes my own silliness on the road, thinking about the dangers that could take place. Do I want to drive? Maybe it's just safer to use the public transportation. But then suddenly dawned on me that the driving itself as a privilege is a great gift. It's a great joy. I can go to places where I want to and with the time that I want to. More than that, as I became capable of working, I realized that to have car and to be able to drive is a necessity for life in today's world. Had to separate the accident, the responsibility from driving, from the privilege of driving itself. I went on a little bit more. Another story, when I was probably about seventh grade, I wanted to belong to some group. In my little town, the group to belong to, the in club for the young fellas, was to be part of the altar-serving group. It wasn't something that father would grab anybody and just, as long as they are alive and willing, there will be altar service. My parish, it was a privilege. If you wanted to be recognized in town and seen by the people, you wanted to be altar server. Finally got the privilege to get to be picked to be one of them. And I started to be an altar server, and the priest had this kind of strange rewards points. You know, that worked more like I could refer to it as building up your credit score today. You know, it takes years sometimes to gain a few points on a credit score, but it takes a very little to have your credit score go down the drain. And that's what it was with that point system as an altar server. For the reasons totally unrelated to me, because of the work and the family and the requirements that the parents put on me, I was doing very good gaining extra points, unfortunately, in a negative way. And so after a few months, the priest comes up and says, "Angie, thank you for being willing and trying to do the MB altar server, but I don't see us cooperating any longer. You are not going to be an altar server anymore." I was crushed. I was ashamed, I was crushed, I was angry, and I didn't want to go and to do anything with the church or God because I tried to do something very special, and yet I was almost punished by it. So what's the point? Do you also want to leave? I was reflecting on this in my life, you know, and as a teenager, you start thinking about what am I to do with my life? And then I also was looking around, you know, like most of my friends, who I am going to spend this life with. And as they were talking about their friends, their special loves, their special boyfriends and girlfriends, you know, I became jealous and I started to look for one as well. I found one. I found one, or she found me, actually. And I was amazed. For a moment, I was questioning. For a moment, I was kind of doubting. But she would be persistent. She would come and talk to me, or she would send messages through other people. And finally, I decided, let's take a look at this loved one, at this beautiful friend. And as I began to learn about her, I found out that she is a little bit older. In her own story, she had many challenges in life already. In her life, she was very diligent and open to the friendships with many. And I was one of them. I found that as much as I was trying to learn about her, I would discover my own story. And she would help me to learn the history, the tradition. She would help me to discover some of my strengths. She would also help me to discover some of my weaknesses. You know how the girlfriends and boyfriends are. They sometimes can be very blunt. And she did it. And the more I started to cooperate with that wisdom that was coming out of her, I would discover my own self, my self-worth, my own dignity, my possibilities, my future. I wanted to honor her by becoming one of her own friends. Not just coincidental friend, but a friend with an intention, or intentional friend. And would go on with a little bit more of life. She went on with her life and still goes, and I went my own way, becoming a priest. Maybe that was my way of getting even with the priest who told me you cannot be altar server anymore. So I told him, rather than just be in front of the altar, I'll go behind the altar. And that was a joyful time. That was amazing. And to see my friend, the love of my life, being proud of me, it was even more respectful, more special, more unique. I really enjoyed by being her friend, by being connected to that love of my life, who gave me respect and dignity and gave me power, gave me privilege, gave me an opportunity to come to know and work with many people. It was a joyful time. In 2002, as a priest, on my second year of the priesthood, I turned on the TV news and I saw my love on the news. She was in trouble. She was in trouble because many people found that in some friendships that she has built with people, she now caused suffering. And it was a sad day. I looked at the news and I thought about the love of my life. And I said, this cannot be. This is too much. How can this be? I do not know this friend anymore. But I went on. I went on as a priest and I went on as a friend who has known her not only for the last few days, but throughout most of my life. And I listened as the days went on. I looked at my friend and I listened to this comments and jokes. I listened to troubles. I saw the suffering that was talked about, and it was not pretty. I heard some of my other friends who were saying, "What's the point? This is too much." And the longer it went on, the more I began to ask myself the same question as they were. Is it worthwhile to go on anymore? What do I do with that? Putting on my collar, automatically being recognized as her closest friend, people would give me looks. People would give me some comments. Do I really need that? It wasn't nice. It was difficult. And I went on with the thoughts like many. Perhaps I'll just put the collar down in a pocket, hide it, so that I am just one of the crowd members. What's the point? My friend was suffering even more, being disowned, challenged, but at the same time connected to the innocence that was taken, stolen, destroyed, to the lives that were broken. And I was asking myself, how can this be? What's going on? And then I reflected a little bit more and remembered, is it really my friend? Or is the people that, like me, she has taken in under her wing, sharing her wisdom with them and me, welcoming the smart and those who were learning, welcoming the poor and the rich, the broken and the well-doing. And as she would take anybody as a possible friend, some saw in her an opportunity to follow only their own idea. And when she would offer them friendship, some of them would offer betrayal. When she would offer them wisdom, they would take only their own well-being. When she would offer them forgiveness and restoring their dignity, helping them discover their own self-worth, they would simply take advantage of her, following their own selfishness. And I was reflecting on that, thinking to myself, seeing my friend, my loved one, suffering because of her goodness, because of her wisdom, because of how she wanted to help others like me, to see myself as a son of God Himself. How beautiful these moments were, and how silly I felt at that very moment. I thought of myself when I was sick once, and was taking medication, being in the care of the doctors, coming in and out of the consciousness, and I thinking to myself, what would I do? What did I do then? And I remembered. Some people would come and say, it's your fault that you are sick. Some people would come and say, what did you do not to prevent it? Some people would say, we'll pray for you. Some people would say, when you get better, come and see us. And I remembered that one thing that most I longed for, it's not just the painkillers or the doctor's presence or the comments to tell me how the illness was taking the best of me, But I needed one thing that was giving me comfort every time I would wake up, is to see a faithful friend just being there, just sitting by my side, not being engrossed, taken aback by my suffering, not being scared of me or what the people would say about me, just being there in my time of need. And I thought of my loved one. I thought of my friend. And I asked myself, are you a friend? Are you ready to love her as much as she loved you? These are the stories that I need to ask and say. These are the questions I need to ask. These are the realities that I will have to face as I go onto the streets being associated with her. But I also know one thing. My friend is simply suffering. The suffering caused by some of her, those people she befriended, is terrible. It took away from her, her dignity, her pride, her wisdom, her strength. It took away from her what she cherished the most in me. And now, as she is suffering, I pray, dear Lord, give me wisdom to separate the weakness, the tragedy, the betrayal of few from the love of the one who gave me love. Give me courage to just be by the side of my suffering friend so that in her time of need, I will be of aid to her in her recovery. So as the days goes on, she may be able to help to restore dignity, friendship, and love, to share the pride of being the Son of God, of being a person who is worthy for the generations to come, just like she did for me.